Hi, this is Al Warner, another exciting edition of Pins and Vids, the monthly radio show on the web that discusses pinball machines and video games. My topic tonight will be the Complete Pinball Book by Marco Rosignoli. We will also be discussing board repairs. The question I've been getting is it too easy? Does it sound too easy? Let's put it that way. There will also be some discussions on the Vector mailing list and some of the recent implications that's been on the video side. And I also have a nice little discussion with Steve Zuner and Rob Rhodes. Their names appear once in a while on the news groups and chat channels and things like that, and you actually get to hear them on this show. We recorded a live recording of them yesterday for the show, and I think you'll kind of like it. It's neat. It's kind of like a chat session between people who just collect games. It's interesting. Well, I'll start off with the book. This is a wonderful piece of work. It was made by Schiffer Books. It's called The Complete Pinball Book, and it's collecting the game and its history. It's available for $59.95. It can be found at barnesandnoble.com. That's the place that I found it at. It's 320 pages long, sorry to say. Sorry, I got that wrong. But it's 320 pages long. And I think what you'll find if you pick this thing up is that it's just absolutely gorgeous. There are pages and pages and pages of color pictures of back boxes, of back glasses, play fields, details about the games. There's only negative comment I can have about this book, and it really is hard to find a negative comment about this book, is that the pricing doesn't seem to be regional enough. If you're from the area that I'm from, the Northeast, you'll notice prices will be a little bit higher than what are in this book. I assume maybe these prices may be lower, like for other parts of the country, which is very possible. I noticed that prices seem to be a lot lower down south, especially, and so there are differences. It will be regional, so I wouldn't go by this as a price guide per se. It does give you a price guide, but I would probably say it's best to just take it for its history. It discusses everything about the games. It puts them into different categories as to what they were. How they were built and different features of the games. I couldn't recommend this book to any more. It's the best book I've ever seen on the subject. And it also shows a lot of pictures of your prototype games, which is pretty neat to see prototype games and how they were designed and all the things that were built around them. It's there's close-ups of the art. There's details of the electronics and electromechanicals of the games. And talks about the history, and I just really can't go on anymore about this. This is just an amazing, amazing book. You should definitely, definitely pick it up. I know I'm promoting the guy's sales, but this is a very exceptional book. I really do think if you're at all interested in pinball machines, that you should pick it up. And if you're not interested in pinball machines and want to learn a little more, I don't think there's a better way, other than buying a few hundred machines. Maybe that might help too. Okay. We're going to move on from there. There is a link on there to our webpage, which supports just the book. It's pretty neat. And like I said, you can get it at barnesandnoble.com. There's a couple other booksellers on there, like Borders, I think, who also has it listed as a special order, as barnesandnoble.com do. So, there we go. One of the other topics I wanted to discuss was I was talking to a few people, and we were discussing the apparent ease, that's the best way of putting it, the apparent ease of fixing pinball machines with the information you can find on the web. There are a couple of web pages, and I'll be pointing to those, both of them. There's two of them that I can think of, that I've been to, and they discuss the details of fixing your pinball machine from different generations. There's a lot of discussion that seems to be on the Bally and the Williams, early Bally and early Williams solid states. There's also a decent amount of information on the newer machines. What I think you'll find is that basically if you own about any generation of pinball machine, that there is some kind of a detailed reference on how to do these things. One of the more apparent problems that seems to be coming up is the problem with the, like, for example, the Bally boards. Bally Valley CPU boards used a alkaline battery to keep the scores and keep all the high scores in your user settings and things like that. Well, the problem was that these alkaline batteries just broke open, and they poured alkaline, which is a base, all over the board. And what they caused it to do was to lift traces on the board to cause major amounts of corrosion. That's the best way of putting it. Some people have a pet peeve, including myself, about calling this acid damage, because people always think of batteries as having acid in them. Well, alkaline batteries do not contain acid, they contain base. So it causes corrosion. Lots of corrosion on the boards, and it seems to leak into the lower portion of the board. What you'll see is that the board is pretty much damaged in the lower portion. The web pages that are out there that are also being linked off my page, off this the Pins and Vids page here, are quite good at describing what the damage is, how to fix the damage, and all the things that are associated with it. They're very, very good at this. I think what people have been noticing is, and I've heard this from the board repair people, is that they're getting a whole bunch of boards back that are unrepairable. And the reason they're unrepairable is because people really tried to hack into them thinking it was just the easiest thing in the world based on the web pages. So the question is, are we getting too much information into people's hands to fix these things when they really don't have the ability to fix it? I've noticed that the Marvin site, Clay, his site has just recently added a new section on how to do all the work, all the soldering, all the things, and basically that gives you a disclaimer: you really shouldn't be doing this if you don't know how to do soldering real well, you don't know how to desolder real well. Here's the tools you need to desolder. And let me explain something to you. I think that this site is probably one of the best references on the internet, if not the very best reference on the internet to learn about pinball machines and what they do and how they work and all the different intricacies that are involved in this particular device. They are very complicated. They're not a simple device. So what I would say is that, I agree wholeheartedly that, you should learn this and all this stuff. But I would also, give you an option to go find an old PCB, an old board or something like that for an old, stereo or something that broke down 10 years ago. It's been sitting in your basement or in your garage or something. And you've got this thing laying around, and just start doing things like desoldering it. Practice on this thing. Practice taking things apart, taking the chips out, checking resistances on the resistors in there. If it's broken, what the heck, you can't hurt it any worse, right? Find out how to do those things, the basic things, before you attempt to fix a pinball board. They are getting harder to find. There are some replacements out there, but they're very expensive. So I think you'll make yourself a lot happier knowing a little bit better when you go into it, and you'll feel a lot less insecure about doing all the work. And this goes for my webpage on how to do cap kits on video games. That's exactly the same thing. You should really spend some time and learn the ins and outs of doing that kind of work. Okay. Well, we're going to move on to video games in our next segment, which will be in just a second. Thanks. What some of you might not know is that there's a vector mailing list, and what this is sort of like a news group, and they have messages that go around from people who are on the mailing list, and what they do is send discussion topics, things like that. Been a big uproar recently on the vector mailing list because of some people decided that they wanted to post some commerce ads. Well, a lot of people see the problem with the RegVac, regular standard video groups, as being all commerce related. I think some groups like the pinball group, I think they do a pretty good job of keeping it clean. But, there's a good, signal-to-noise ratio of tech tips versus, thing other than that. But with all the things that have happened with the video group, a lot of the guys decided, look, we want to talk about vector games in particular, and they created a group, a mailing list. And you can't post any commerce-based things on there, no for sales, no wanted. Occasionally somebody kind of slips something by people who are prototyping new concepts or building replacement parts that are unusual, things like that. And nobody really seems to care. Well, recently some people posted up kind of blatant ads. And once they did this, it got to such a point that the people who run the list said, you know what, we're tired of fighting this battle. We're going to get out. So the vector mailing list was closed down, was proposed to close down. And then what happened was another guy said, well, look, if we want commerce, we'll self-police ourselves and we'll see how things go. So far, the vector mailing list has not been overly inundated with the sale for sale posts, and that's good. I think that's a real good thing. I'm just hoping it stays that way. So there's a new vector mailing list, and I'll try to give some information on the page about how you can subscribe to it. And you know, I'm just hoping that the bulk of people who subscribe to it understand that commerce is not this primary goal. If you're looking for a part or something like that, like a wanted to buy or something like that, that might be a good place to put it. But, I mean, I would suggest that if you're going to subscribe to the list, you do it to learn something and maybe get some help on a vector project you have going. Okay. Now, let me jump on to my next little segment here. This was real interesting. On Saturday, January 15th of the year 2000, just recently, what I did was I interviewed some friends of mine. Now, these aren't people who I just met or anything. I think the idea was is I wanted to have a little more variety to the show. And some people had written me and said, you know, I think you need somebody to play off. You know, one of my friends who's actually a collector said to me, you know, you need a Robin Quivers to your Howard Stern. So what I'm doing is that I got some friends of mine. And they're pretty well known by the news groups and things like that, Rob Rhodes and Steve Zinner. And I just interviewed them and talked to them, and I think I'm going to probably try to do this as a sort of a regular basis. They seem to be pretty comfortable in this, and I got a good 10 minutes of solid, a little more than 10 minutes, but I got a little bit of good 10 minutes of stuff. And I think you'll enjoy it. I hope you do. And I'll like to have them back again next month, and we'll talk about something else. I think it's kind of neat. It's kind of like just, you know, what we talk about when we sit around and talk about games and things like that. So here he goes. This is the interview with Steve Zinner and Rob Rhodes. The first person you'll hear will be Steve Zinner.
Go ahead, Rob.
Hello.
Yeah, there you are.
Hello.
Okay, great. We're going to talk about the a trip we took. It was sort of a what would you call it?
A trip from hell.
Yeah, that was it. Trip from hell. See, well, yeah, give me your take on it, because it was sort of like you kind of called me up one day and said, called me up and said, we're going on a trip.
Yeah, it was a trip to North Carolina, or the outer edge of Virginia, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I got a call from a buddy of mine who said he had an Exidy Victory that I've been looking for since starting to collect. And he said it was actually more than one in this warehouse, and it's actually hard to find one and actually find like three or four. So it wasn't a trip I was looking forward to do, but if it was going to get that machine, I'd have to go get it.
Cool. So how did it start off? To give you the scenario, we left Rob's house over here.
We left Rob's house around 4 o'clock. We were actually supposed to leave around 11 or so in the morning, but we got a little held up at the Greyhound bus terminal. Let me just put it that way.
I don't want to say where that came from, right?
And, nothing ever goes as planned, and it was just such a long ride.
Yeah, and on the way, we stopped off at, McDonald's.
And we met up with another guy from...
We can mention
from Videotopia.
Yeah. I met with Jeff from Videotopia.
Jeff Anderson, yeah. And, and it was pretty much a straight drive all the way down. We got there about 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
There you go. We had no plans or anything like that, and it was just like on the fly.
Right.
We got there 11:30
at night. Now, remember that we left mm-hmm. our area, went to Rob's house at like 11 o'clock in the morning. And then we finally got over here like, what, 2:30, 3 o'clock before we left here.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Rob got a trailer, and We got there, like I said, 11:30 at night. There was real, literally no lights in this place. No. There's no heat.
No heat.
But, of course, it was in the summer. It would have been nice if there was air conditioning.
Yeah, it was a pit of heat that day.
That's probably. We were there till like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
In the warehouse.
Yep. Left at 5:30. Remember we had, how many games you have on the back of there, Rob?
Well, I think it was seven games on there.
Seven on the back of back of his truck on the trailer he was carrying, and then and we had three on the back of Steve's truck.
Right, I have a Toyota
pickup truck.
We had three video games.
We'll link to the pictures.
Yeah, and
we'll link to the pictures.
We drive with the tailgate down. Just use these two massive straps.
Yeah, there's pictures there.
It's pretty hellish if you're behind me.
Right, and so we leave. It was 5:30 in the morning, and I know we got back way around 12:30. In the afternoon?
Yeah.
I drove straight back. So at this point, I calculate I was awake for like 27 hours.
Yeah, I don't know how you stayed awake on the ride home, because I was just like,
yeah,
I was totally out of it.
Yeah, I'm punching him in the side, and he's trying to punch me to keep me awake.
Yeah, I was falling asleep, banging my head on the windows.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
But
you got two victories?
Yeah, two victories. I gave one to Rick Goodman.
Yeah,
he's the Exidy freak of the internet.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got every Exidy game ever made, it seems. And actually, there was three there, and Jeff Anderson got one for the Videotopia exhibit also.
Yeah.
And of course, none worked.
Nothing works now.
No.
We got a temp. I got a Tempest. That didn't work. What did you get, Rob? There was a couple of things that you had.
Yeah, I didn't come away so well. But no. I got a pit.
A pit?
Lucky man, got a pit. I got a Pleiades, which I have yet to even look at. It's been sitting in there.
Does that work? Does it come up?
No, it doesn't have a power supply in it, but it's got everything else.
Cool.
And last but not least was the Domino Man.
Domino Man.
That did not work, that I did get working.
Cool.
That now Jeff Anderson has.
Yeah, this thing seemed to move around a lot. Yeah,
yeah, and there was another person that went. His name was Seth, and he came back with a Zookeeper and a Crossbow. And both worked.
Cool.
Wow. After some finagling.
Hmm. Well, just so everybody knows that these are not for sale. If they haven't been sold already, let's put it that way. We're not looking to sell the stuff that we bought back. That's one of the things that people comment a lot about, is every time you tell anybody you have anything, they suddenly start emailing, oh, I want to buy it. Oh, I want to buy it. Yeah. Yeah, really, really big money would probably convince us otherwise.
6 zeros will work.
That works. So what's next? I heard rumors of another Ramblings of another trip. Is that going to be happening, or?
Well, depends on where.
John was talking about a Kentucky trip.
Yeah.
It's about all I really know about right now.
Oh,
there was a trip that actually, on an unrelated topic, I was looking for a quantum cabinet.
Right.
For a quantum machine I had, but it looks like it was left out in the rain for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually twice the size it normally is. Now it's like 16 feet tall.
Right.
Because it's puffed out. Jeff told me there was a quantum cabinet up in West Virginia that's converted to a golf game. So I'm trying to put together something for that. He says there's a... I'm not going to say anything else, but there's a lot of machines up there.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, that's a big
deal. They barely just have phone service up there.
There you go.
So anybody from West Virginia, email me.
That's right. the quantum thing. Now, let's talk quickly about that real fast. There's a... limited number of those. They think they're pretty sure there's about 500 of them made, right?
Yeah.
And you just restored the monitor. You got the Amplifon monitor running on
right.
that. Yeah. You had a lot of problem with that.
Yeah, I had one of those. It's the first Amplifon I've ever worked on, and it had the dreaded red from dead, red is dead.
Yeah.
Flyback.
And it was blue board, so that's the
earlier version.
Board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I bought the new flyback, put that in, did a cap kit from Bob Roberts. Is always highly recommended.
Mm-hmm.
And did all that good stuff and turned it on, and I still had no high voltage.
Wow.
So that wasn't very good.
Wasn't happy.
It got down to the point where Al had an extra high voltage board, and I replaced the red mystery can, which I really don't think anybody really knows what it is yet.
Really?
It's labeled in the book as a magnetic correction device, whatever that means. And it was something that looked like a little transformer, and I also replaced the 555 oscillator chip. And it came to life.
Yeah, cool. Yeah,
so there's another Amplifon working.
Yeah.
Yeah, or it's currently out for repair.
Yeah. But big job.
Yeah.
Cool. What else is there? You have anything else we want to talk about, or should we just cut for now?
Yeah. We can leave that for the next show, I guess.
All right. We'll come back to the next show. We'll add this in. I'm going to be doing some other talks, and we'll add that on later. Rob, we haven't heard much from you. Let's.
No, I'm the silent minority here.
Yeah.
Nah, no money here.
Yeah.
No money here. I can't say I'm a big XY fan, though.
No.
No, I'm more the Williams guy. I kind of steer clear of the XY games. It's, I don't know, if I screw up a raster monitor, it ain't a big deal. If I screw up an XY monitor, I'll never forgive myself.
Yeah. I think you can always replace those. You can't replace XYs, that's for sure.
No, they're not that easy.
Yeah.
They make a lot of money, so.
Well, that's true. I don't like to make money, no.
Steve said if you make a lot of money on him, you probably didn't catch that. There was not a lot of gain on that. So you're big on the Williams games. You've got quite a few, right, in the collection. You've got like a Joust. I would tell me. Give us
yeah,
names.
Yeah. Well, starting from right to left, there would be a Defender, a Stargate, a Robotron, a Joust, a Sinistar, a Bubbles, a Smash TV. I'm picking up an Aeroboto tomorrow.
That's right.
I got a Make Tracks. I also have a Revenge from Mars, too, if you want to
include that. That's
that.
Right.
Yeah, but that's more along the lines of a Bally, is it not?
It's still Williams controlled.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Still made by Williams somewhere down the line. Oh, the turkey shoot? Oh, yeah, we'll get a turkey shoot, sure.
Yeah,
if it comes along the line it's Williams, I'll probably buy it.
You had a Bubbles Duramold.
Yeah, that actually, I had a door mold, and I was putting a door mold together, and lo and behold, I located a wooden one that was just in great shape, so I kind of abandoned the door mold and ended up selling it.
You got a new control panel overlay and everything else for it, so
yeah,
you can't
really,
beat that.
Yeah, it really turned out nice.
Yeah, it really is a very nice looking machine. Maybe we'll try to get some pictures up sometime after the show is put out.
Yeah.
And see if we can get some pictures of the games. Cool. Well, I'll... We'll go back to other broadcasts. I'll add some more later on. And this is Al and Steve and Rob, and we're signing off for now. We'll be here and stay tuned for more after this little break.
Well, that about wraps up this episode of Pins and Vids. I want to thank you for downloading us and listening to us, and I want to also go ahead. Ask if you'd like to be alerted to the next version of this show, which we expect sometime around the middle of February. Just log on to the link. There's a little link down the bottom for an email. And email me and let me know, and I'll add you to our mailing list if you'd like to be added. And when the next episode becomes available, we'll just send everything out to that mailing little notice out to the mailing list, and everybody will be able to pick up the next version of it. I really appreciate your time, and I really thank you for listening. Bye now.